Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the General Electric first quarter 2013 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode. My name is Derek, and I'll be your conference coordinator for today. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please press star followed by zero, and a conference coordinator will be happy to assist you. If you experience issues with the slides refreshing or there appears to be delays in the slide advancement, please hit F5 on your keyboard to refresh. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the program over to your host for today's conference, Trevor Schoenberg, Vice President of Investor Communications. Please proceed.
Thank you, Derek. Good morning and welcome, everyone. We are pleased to host today's first quarter webcast. Regarding the materials for this webcast, we issued the press release earlier this morning, and the presentation slides are available via the webcast. Slides are also available for download and printing on our website at www.ge.com/investor. As always, elements of this presentation are forward-looking and are based on our best view of the world and our businesses as we see them today. Those elements can change as the world changes. Please interpret them in that light. For today's webcast, we have our Chairman and CEO, Jeff Immelt, and our Vice Chairman and CFO, Keith Sharon. Now I'd like to turn it over to our Chairman and CEO, Jeff Immelt.
Thanks, Trevor, and good morning, everybody. Hey, look, in the first quarter, our market conditions proved to be volatile. Most of our emerging markets, including China, remained strong. However, the U.S. indicators were mixed. While housing improved, some of our shorter cycle energy segments experienced pushouts from March. We planned for Europe to be similar to 2012, down again, but it was even weaker than we had expected. Finally, we had an FX headwind in our oil and gas business. Based on this backdrop, our results were mixed. Our EPS was $0.39, up 15%. This was actually $0.35 because not all of the MBCU gain was offset by restructuring in the quarter. Leading indicators in our longer cycle infrastructure businesses were encouraging, with orders up 3%, which is 6% ex wind. Equipment orders were up 10%, and we had a  1.3x book-to-bill ratio in the quarter. This gives us confidence in our delivery schedule for the second half and beyond. Power and water was a drag on our overall results. Wind and thermal units were down in the first quarter, but that was expected. We experienced incremental pressure in European services, and based on our current backlog, however, we expect shipments to significantly improve in the second half, and we'll show you a detailed chart with the financial profile for the remainder of the year. Finally, GE Capital delivered a solid quarter, up 9%, while they continue to shrink their non-core assets, which were down $17 billion in the quarter versus previous years. We remain focused on our operating priorities. We were able to accelerate restructuring actions, and we've taken out $200 million of structural SG&A costs in the first quarter, well on our way to at least a billion-dollar reduction in 2013. Margins were negatively impacted by some of the revenue shortfalls in Europe and power and water, but we remain on track to deliver the 70 basis points margin expansion this year, and we'll show you more details later in the deck. We finished the quarter with $90 billion of consolidated cash and $22 billion of cash at the parent level. We returned $3.9 billion of cash to investors in the first quarter, including $2 billion of dividends and $1.9 billion of share buyback. We announced the intent to purchase Lufkin, a $3 billion bolt-on acquisition, which broadens our artificial lift portfolio in oil and gas. For perspective, GE's artificial lift business grew by 12% in the quarter. We expect to close this transaction and the previously announced Avio deal in the second half of this year, and both deals will be accretive to industrial earnings in 2014. So in summary, our industrial segment profits were about $200 million below our expectations, and that really was a function of Europe, which worsened during the quarter, and some short-cycle pushouts from March into the second quarter. Now, we were able to offset that gap by doing a good job on corporate cost and slightly better GE Capital performance. So that's really a summary of the first quarter. Overall orders were a good story, up 3% overall and 6% ex-wind. Equipment orders grew by 10%. Oil and gas and aviation were particularly strong, and power and water ex-wind grew by 10%. We ended the quarter with $216 billion in backlog, which is a record for GE. Orders pricing was up 0.6 points, in line with expectations. Many growth markets were strong. China was up 67%. Latin America was up 44%. Middle East and Northern Africa were up 22%. And Sub-Saharan Africa were up 41%. Service orders were mixed. You know, our investors closely track commercial aviation spares, and they grew by 10% in the quarter. That's good news. And while power and water service orders declined, commitments increased, which helped future periods. So the orders momentum and equipment and backlog expansion, I think, positions us well for the second half. Revenue overall was challenged. We knew the first quarter was going to be tough. Overall, our organic growth was down 6 points. But that really was a function of Power and Water. Organic growth was up 2 points, excluding that segment, which was going through a tough cycle. Our revenue grew by more than 10% in 5 of 9 growth regions, including Middle East, North Africa, and Turkey, Sub-Saharan Africa, Australia, New Zealand, ASEAN, and China. We continue to see strength in many regions and believe that growth markets will stay on track for the year. We grew backlog and service and margins and services. Europe was a drag on service revenue overall, knocking 5 points off our growth. But meanwhile, our oil and gas service revenue was up 10%. Our investments in R&D continue to pay off. We were selected by Boeing as sole source for the next generation 777. We're launching the world's most energy efficient wind turbine. Our leadership in locomotive technology is at the forefront of potential LNG conversions. We continue to focus on new NPIs and healthcare and appliances. And we have a solid pipeline of advanced gas path upgrades worth about $500 million, which should help power gen services in the balance of the year. The biggest driver of industrial segment profit is the power and water shipment profile that we've mentioned to you before. In the first quarter, their operating profit was down 39%, driven by significantly lower gas turbine, wind turbine, and aeroderivative unit shipments. In Europe, the service business was down about 22% and was the primary cause of total service revenues being down. Despite their lower volume, the team delivered 70 basis points of services margin improvement. And overall, the team did a nice job in reducing costs, but volume decline was far greater, pressuring the margin rates. We expect the second quarter unit shipment volume to improve slightly, but it will still be negative versus last year. And services should be positive and continue to grow margin rates in the quarter and throughout the year. The second half volume is supported by our $9.5 billion equipment backlog and will be up significantly in both wind and aero from the first half. Services will also be up in the second half, and we have a better comps versus Europe. The higher volume leverage coupled with service margin growth will drive an improved margin rate. In addition, Steve and the team are working to deliver $250 million of structural cost improvements throughout the year. So these efforts should deliver a flat margin rate for the total year. On total margins, the industrial margin rate was 12.9% for the quarter, down about 80 basis points. But up 40 basis points, excluding the power and water cycle. We saw solid improvement in four of our businesses, driven by a strong value gap and cost execution. Oil and gas was negatively impacted by foreign exchange, but some of that will come back during the year. And we're planning on four businesses being above a 70 basis points improvement overall. If you look at the first quarter and total year dynamics, you'll see that we don't expect any significant impact from mix, and the R&D drag from the first quarter is mostly timing in aviation and oil and gas, and will be neutral by the end of the year. The value gap was strong in the first quarter, and we anticipate it continuing to strengthen throughout the year. And the biggest negative in the quarter was the volume leverage from power and water, and as I said, it will be tailwind in the second half of the year. As I've said before, we went into the year with a plan that would deliver more than 70 basis points of margin expansion. Given the first quarter dynamics and the short cycle energy-related volume pressure, we've eaten into that hedge, but we still have an internal plan for 90 basis points of improvement, more than the 70 basis points that we've told all of you about. And that improvement is going to be driven by a change in power and water shipment profile, services margin growth, and accelerated cost-out programs. And in many ways, our margin progression fits the pattern of previous years. Cash in the quarter was impacted about $1.5 billion by shipment timing and a couple unusual items. We grew working capital by $800 million to support power and water and commercial engine shipments later in the year. In addition, we had an impact of about $800 million in incentive and tax payout timing. Not included in the number and not in the numbers, a capital dividend of about $450 million, which will be realized in second quarter CFOA. The company has a very strong cash position with $90 billion in consolidated cash and $22 billion at the parent. And we have no change in our overall CFOA framework for the year. We remain committed to returning $18 billion to investors in 2013 through dividends and buybacks. So now let me turn it over to Keith and give you more details about the segments.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. I'll start with the first quarter summary. We had continuing operations revenues of $35 billion, and that was flat with last year. Industrial sales of $22.3 billion are down 6%, driven by power and water, as you can see on the right side. G Capital revenues of $11.5 billion were up 2%, and both the total and the capital revenues include the benefit of the MBCU gain. Operating earnings of $4.1 billion were up 14%. Operating earnings per share of 39 cents were up 15%. And if you adjust for the net benefit of 4 cents from the gain exceeding restructuring, the operating EPS would have been 35 cents. And I'll cover that on the next page. Continuing EPS includes the impact of our non-operating pension, and net earnings per share includes the impact of discontinued operations, which I'm also going to cover on the next page. As Jeff covered, CFOA was $200 million, driven by the working capital investments, incentive payments, and tax timing. For taxes, the GE rate of 20% for the quarter is in line with the rate of about 20% that we expect for GE for the year, but there could be some variability from quarter to quarter. And on GE capital, the tax rate was 4%, and that rate is down because in the fiscal cliff resolution, the active financing exception was retroactively extended, which gave us a benefit in the first quarter. Because of expected additional asset reduction opportunities, we currently expect to see a mid-single-digit GE capital rate rather than the 10% rate we previously forecast. On the right side of the page, you can see the segment results. Total industrial segment profit was down 11%. That was driven by power and water, as you can see. Segment profit for the other industrial businesses was up 6%, and we expect power and water, oil and gas, energy management to all improve as the year progresses. And I'll cover each of the segments in more detail. Before I go through the business results, I'm going to take you through the other items from the first quarter. Starting with industrial, as you know, we realized a $1.1 billion pre-tax gain related to the NBCU transaction, and that resulted in an 8-cent after-tax EPS benefit. The industrial MBCU gain was partially offset by 4 cents of restructuring and other items in the quarter. The charges related primarily to our cost structure improvements and our ongoing simplification actions across the company. And the amounts by business are power and water, 94, energy management, 60, healthcare, 48, aviation, 46, oil and gas, 42, HMBS, 38, and corporate, 46. On the bottom of the page, you'll see the restructuring plan for the rest of the year. We're planning to offset the additional 4 cents related to the MBCU gain with 2 cents of restructuring in second quarter and a penny each in the third and fourth quarter based on the timing of the restructuring actions being completed and approved. Moving to GE Capital, we had 5 cents of benefit related to the sale of the 30 Rock real estate assets, and those gains were offset in two categories. First, we had 2 cents of charges related to the platform exits and restructuring actions. In the real estate business, we had an after-tax charge for $123 million that related to our planned exit of another $2.3 billion of equity assets. In addition, we had $53 million of charges related to cost reductions and non-core asset exits in the rest of GE Capital. The second category is we had 3 cents related to consumer reserves. In the first quarter, we finalized our updates to our reserve models in the U.S. retail business for a more granular segmentation of loss types. You know, we've been working on that all year last year. In the quarter, this included completion of the analysis on bankruptcy, which for us is one of the larger categories of losses. And the 3 cents also includes the impact for our consumer portfolios in Europe and Asia, and also our current assessment of forecasted charge-offs across the entire portfolio. So these adjustments are aligned with regulatory guidance and industry standards, and we believe we've completed the methodology adjustments in our consumer franchise. On discontinued operations, at the bottom of the page, we had $109 million after-tax impact in the quarter. On WMC, we added $107 million to reserves in the quarter as pending claims increased from $5.4 billion to $6.2 billion. We ended the quarter with $740 million in reserves, covering both the pending and the future claims. And on Gray Zones, claims were up in the first quarter above our model assumptions, so we booked $50 million of additional reserves, and we ended the quarter with $561 million of reserves. In total, the operating impact from the other items netted to a 4-cent benefit for the quarter, and that will be offset through the balance of the year through restructuring, as I said. So let me move on to the businesses. I'll start with power and water. We were planning for a tough first half based on the volume comparisons for wind and thermal, but the market was even tougher than we expected. Orders of $5.2 billion were down 13%. Equipment orders of $2.6 billion were down 6%. That's driven by wind. Our renewable orders of $1.1 billion were down 27%. Our thermal orders of $759 million were up 10%, and our distributed power orders of $563 million were up 22%. So one of the highlights here in the quarter is that excluding wind, our equipment orders in power and water were up 16%. Service orders of $2.5 billion were down 19%. That's driven by tough comparisons as well as order pushouts. In the quarter, we had about $100 million of orders on several gas turbine upgrade projects, mostly in the U.S., that slipped out of the quarter. And overall orders pricing for the business was flat in the first quarter. Revenues of $4.8 billion were down 26%. Jeff showed you the unit comparisons for the first quarter, which drove the decline. Equipment revenue was down 42%. Service revenues were down 9%. And segment profit of $719 million was down 39%, driven by the lower volume. We reduced our SG&A by 14%, but it wasn't enough given the unit declines, and margins were down 3.2 points. As we got to the end of the quarter, we had challenges in the market. As I mentioned, we had about $100 million of gas turbine upgrade packages that slipped out of the quarter. We also had two distributed energy projects for a little over $100 million that were delayed and pushed into the second half. And in addition, we had expected a stronger European power and water service market, and that was down 22% on lower gas turbine utilization. So all these items would have been in revenues and, of course, would have had a significant impact on both margin dollars and rate. On the right side is oil and gas. Orders of $4.8 billion were up 11%. Equipment orders of $2.9 billion were up 24%, driven by strong turbo machinery, strong drilling and surface orders for upstream production. Service orders of $1.9 billion were down 5%, driven by lower drilling and surface orders related to lower activity in North America. Our backlog grew by $2.2 billion in the first quarter to $17 billion, and orders pricing across the business was up 1.5%, our eighth quarter of order price increases. Revenue of $3.4 billion was flat. Equipment revenue of $1.7 billion was down 4% as our growth in drilling and surface was more than offset by declines in turbo machinery. And service revenues of $1.7 billion were up 4%. That was driven by stronger global spare parts sales, partially offset by lower measurement and control short cycle volume. M&C was lower as we saw customers delay investment decisions in the portfolio. And that impacted our expected revenues in both equipment and service by about $125 million. Segment profit of $325 million was down 4% as the benefits of service growth were partially offset by higher program spending. And the one unusual item in the quarter here was we had $34 million of negative foreign exchange related to the weakening of the British pound. This is on an economic hedge over a long-term contract in the business, and we will recover as we deliver the project. That hedge will go back to zero as we deliver the units over the next 12 to 18 months. Excluding the FX impact, segment profit would have been up about 6%. Next is aviation. The aviation team had another strong quarter. Orders of $6.6 billion were up 22%. Equipment orders of $3.8 billion were up 47%. Commercial engine orders of $3 billion were up 90%, driven by $1.4 billion of LEAP orders and $875 million of GE90 orders. Military equipment orders of $300 million were down 42%. Service orders of $2.8 billion were down 2%. Commercial service orders of $2.2 billion were up 8%. And our first quarter average daily spares order rate was 25.3 million per day, up 10%. Military spares were down 44% on tough prior year comparisons. And overall business order pricing was up 2.1%. Revenue of $5.1 billion was up 4%, driven by equipment. It was up 8%. We shipped 596 commercial engines in the quarter. That was up 13 units or 2%. And we shipped 279 military engines, which were up 44 units or 19%. Service revenues of $2.5 billion were flat, as our commercial spare parts shipments were flat in the quarter. Segment profit of $936 was up 9%, as the benefits of a positive value gap and lower in SG&A costs more than offset higher R&D and the impact of 28 more Gen X engine shipments. And margin rates grew 80 basis points in the quarter. On the right side is healthcare. Orders of $4.3 billion were down 2%. Equipment orders of $2.3 billion were down 3%. For equipment, in the developed markets, it was down 5%, and it's the same story we've had last year. The U.S. was flat, Europe was down 9%, a little worse, and Japan was down 26%, 16% excluding FX, so soft. Developing markets were up 4%, driven by China up 16%, Latin America up 4%, India down 7%, and the Middle East down 19%. By modality, MR was flat, CT was down 5%, ultrasound was up 7%, Life Sciences was flat, and Diagnostic Guidance Systems, which is X-ray plus interventional, now DGS, was down 10%. Service orders of $2 billion were down 1%. Revenue of $4.3 billion was flat, driven by the growth markets, up 10%, offset by the developed markets, down 4%. and segment profit of $595 million was up 2% as the benefits of restructuring more than offset the impact of lower pricing and foreign exchange, and margin rates here were up 30 basis points. Next is transportation. Transportation team delivered another solid quarter. Orders of $1.2 billion were down 26%. Equipment orders of $413 million were down 59% as locomotive orders were down 70%, driven somewhat by tough comparisons and also the net impact of the slowing coal market on the rail industry. Service orders of $746 million were up 31%, driven by strong signaling, and orders pricing was up 10 basis points for the business. Revenues of $1.4 billion were up 12%. Our equipment revenue was up 3% as the impact of lower locomotive shipments, 143 this year versus 159 last year, was more than offset with higher mining volumes, somewhat driven by the acquisitions. Service revenues were up 24%, driven by higher long-term contract revenues and mining services, and segment profit of $267 million was up 15%, driven by the positive value gap in services growth, and margins increased 50 basis points. For energy management, orders of $2.2 billion were up 6%, driven by power conversion, it was up 8%, and digital energy was up 11%. Revenues of $1.7 billion were up 2%, driven again by power conversion up 11%, partially offset by lower revenues in intelligent platforms, which was down 15%. And segment profit of $15 million was down 29%. That's only $6 million, but that was driven by $15 million of higher expenses in Asia and Brazil for expanding capabilities to deliver the global $2.5 billion backlog that's grown over 25% in the past year. So segment margins were down 30 basis points, driven by those investments, and we expect this business to grow segment profit and margins through the rest of the year. Home and Business Solutions had another positive quarter. Revenues of $1.9 billion were flat as we saw 3% growth in appliances, partially offset by 5% decline in lighting sales. And segment profit of $79 million was up 39%, driven by the positive pricing and a little lower program spend. And margins were up 1.1 points for the quarter. And next is G Capital. Mike Neal and the team delivered another solid result in Q1. Revenues of $11.5 billion were up 2%. If you exclude the impact of the 30 Rock gain, revenues were down 6% in line with the lower assets. As I covered on the earlier page, the impact of the 30 Rock gain was offset by the restructuring and the reserve increases, and I'll cover those by business. And net income of $1.9 billion was up 9% as we more than offset the impact of lower earning assets with core growth and the AFE tax benefit. We ended the quarter with $402 billion of ending net investment, which was down $32 billion from last year and $15 billion from year-end, and our net interest margin was 5%, and our Basel I Tier 1 common ratio improved 65 basis points to a little over 11%. On the right side of the page, you can see our asset quality continues to improve. Delinquencies were flat or lower across the board. Our non-earning assets were down year-over-year and from year-end, and our liquidity remains very strong, $68 billion of cash, and we ended the quarter with less than $40 billion of commercial paper. That's the first time in 21 years we've been under $40 billion, so substantial change in the funding profile of this business. By business, the commercial lending and leasing business ended Q1 with assets of $176 billion, down 7% from last year, driven primarily by non-core shrinkage, including $7 billion lower Penske, lower trailer leasing, lower Seco assets. Net income of $398 million was down 40%, driven by the Americas. In the Americas, net income of $267 million was down 51%, and that's driven by lower assets as well as a $166 million after-tax impairment charge on one investment in the quarter. CLL volume was good in the quarter, up 8%. New business returns remain strong at about a 2% ROI, and asset quality remains strong with flat delinquencies and lower non-earnings. Our consumer business ended Q1 with assets of $137 billion. That was up 1%. Net income of $523 million was down 37%, driven by the finalization of the portfolio segmentation that I covered earlier. U.S. retail finance earned $382 million, which was down $259 million, driven by the reserve increase. Excluding the reserves increase, the business was about flat in the quarter. Asset quality in this business continues to be very strong. Our 30-day delinquencies of 4.2% are at the lowest level we've seen in 10 years that we've been reporting on this basis. And U.S. retail volume was up 6% in the quarter versus last year, and Core Europe earned $145 million in the quarter. For real estate, the team had another great quarter. Assets of $43 billion were down 28% from last year. They were down $3.5 billion from year-end. Net income of $690 million was up more than $630 million from last year, again driven by the gain on 30 Rock. If you exclude the gain and the charge for the equity exits that I covered earlier, real estate earned $261 million, and that was up over $200 million from last year, driven by higher tax benefits, lower losses and marks, and higher gains. In the quarter, not including 30 Rock, we sold 52 properties for $1.3 billion and $121 million of after-tax gains, and 30-day delinquencies at 2.16% are the lowest since the fourth quarter of 2008. For the verticals, both GECAS and Energy Financial Services had strong quarters in the first quarter. GECAS earned $348 million of net income. That was up 9%. Earnings were driven by lower impairments and higher operating income. And EFS net income of $83 million was up 17%, driven by higher gains. So overall, G Capital delivered another strong result in the quarter. And as you look forward to Q2, we'll continue to have the loss of earnings from shrinking assets ahead of schedule. And if you adjust for the one-time items that I covered, a normalized run rate for G Capital at the first quarter was about $1.8 to $1.85 billion. And Q2 will also have the preferred dividend payment for the first half of 2013, and that is covered in our corporate line in our operating framework that Jeff's going to cover in a minute. So with that, let me turn it back to Jeff.
Great, Keith. Thanks. Just again on the 2013 framework, we have no change to the overall operating framework for the year. And by that I mean, and specifically, we expect our EPS to grow in line with previous commitments. The mix will change. We believe it's going to be hard for our power and water business earnings in 13 to equal 12, which we've talked about previously, primarily due to the incremental weakness that we're seeing in power gen in Europe and services. As a result, our industrial earnings will grow in the range of high single digits to double digits. On the positive side, we expect capital earnings to be slightly better, and our corporate costs will be lower. Previously, we were at $3.5 billion in corporate costs, and we're now targeting $3 billion, so that's an improvement of $500 million. We expect to hit our margin goals, and we are on track to drive SG&A as a percentage of revenue to 15% by 2014. While organic growth could be at the lower end of the range. We've reflected the changes that we've seen in the market, and we're going to be aggressive on costs as we go through the year. So on balance, the rest of the framework remains unchanged. And finally, just in summary, you know, some of our markets in the first quarter of 13 were more challenging than expected. Europe was tougher, and some of the short cycle markets were slower in March, and we saw some pushouts. But despite that, we still plan to achieve our full-year EPS framework, really based on power and water strengthening, stronger backlog and deliveries, capital strength, and more cost out. And we plan to achieve our margin goals. We end the quarter with a very strong cash position of $90 billion consolidated and $22 billion at the parent. And we plan to return $18 billion to investors in dividends and buyback while continuing to execute on bolt-on acquisitions. So in a challenging environment, we're committed to delivering for investors. So, Trevor, let me turn it back to you, and let's take some questions.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. Thank you, Keith. Derek, let's open up the phone lines for questions. I know we have another earnings call later today, so let's try to limit the questions to two apiece if we could today. Thank you.